Welcome to another episode of Small School Big Tech. This is Danny Silva. I teach ag on Twitter along with Andrew Schwab.
Another Schwab on Twitter. What's up?
It's been a while again. We're busy.
Too busy.
At school.
Crazy at school, crazy at home.
And Andrew's been not at school because, well, actually both of us haven't been at school. I've been for professional reasons and Andrew's been for personal reasons.
Yes.
And so congratulations to Andrew.
Thank you. I just had a second daughter on Sunday at 1:18 in the morning. That was fun.
So
that's 4 days ago.
Not a lot of sleep, right?
No, not a lot of sleep at all. And I was out a whole week sick before that with the flu, which I attribute to you. So thank you very much for that.
That was not me. I can tell you that right now. I was sick like 2 weeks before that. So
I think your sick germs landed on the keyboard and lived there for a week before I got it. So luckily I got well before the baby was born, so I didn't have to go into isolation or anything.
I didn't think about that. That's true.
Yeah, I was a little worried about that, but doctor put me on Tamiflu, which I guess is like an antiviral.
Never heard of it.
Very expensive antiviral. So I had a 5-day treatment of that, and actually didn't get it too bad, which is good. So
that's good. That's good.
Baby's home now, and I've been out for this whole week. I just came in today and got swamped, and so we're going to do a short podcast because I don't have a lot of time. So
time to get back to the family.
Yes.
And I was gone too, so I need to get back to the family too. I was gone from Tuesday through Friday last week, and I was in Iowa for, I believe it was the first ever Google Apps certified training. And so Iowa is switching to Google Apps for Education, the whole state, and they brought in 50 tech people from around the state, and myself along with a couple other GCTs, Chris Bell and Christina Archer. We did some trainings, and Andy from Iowa, Andy Crozier, I always pronounce his last name wrong. Sorry, Andy.
It's not like he listens or anything.
Well, yeah, he might. You never know. He invited us out there to do the training, and so it was a real good experience, and had a lot of fun, and I hope that we influenced a few people. We had people that were still on Outlook that hadn't even migrated yet over, so it was a good training.
Speaking of Outlook, we didn't put this on the list, but now that they're migrating from Outlook to Gmail, they don't have to have threaded conversations if they don't want them.
Which I think is sacrilegious.
As a GCT, I would expect you to think that. However, it is one of the big things, and we noticed it.
Some
people move from Outlook, right, some people. When people make the transition from Outlook to Gmail, the whole collapsing of the conversation and getting that little parentheses with the number on it confuses people. And that does take some getting used to. Personally, I'm used to it now, and I prefer it because it gives me a cleaner view. I don't have to go search for threaded history or anything like that. But
that's the nice thing about it.
You know, if you have somebody who's been using Outlook for 25 years, wait, hasn't been around that long. if they've been using Outlook forever, it's maybe a hard transition for some people. So it's nice. It's an option. You can turn
it's
it
an
on,
option.
You can turn off.
I was joking, but yes, I think one of the point of Gmail at the beginning, one of the big selling points was
threaded
conversations. And true. In fact, when a lot of people do GWEs, Google Workshop for Educators and stuff, when they talk about using Gmail, one of the first things that you bring up is, look at this, how nice, you have threaded conversations. And
well, you mean a lot of people being all the GCTs that have been converted.
Yeah, I guess you could say that.
But I think it actually shows, not capitulation, but kind of a realization that, Google has a tendency to throw stuff out there that is new and innovative. And then over time, they kind of throw in the options to go back to the old way. So.
Well, and it's funny that you say that because I appreciate this because I think Google tries really hard sometimes, but sometimes people don't want Google to try hard,
right.
If you know what I mean.
Well, look at Buzz.
Yeah. So Google says, this is the way we think you want it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that's not going to please 100% of your audience. Even
right.
Maybe even 50%.
You can never please 100% of your audience. But,
so
anyway, that was actually a nice announcement, I think. And they've been announcing updates left and right. I can't even keep up.
It's crazy how many. In fact, one of the updates was recently Google TV, and I believe as of yesterday, which would have been the 6th, August 6th, or even maybe August 5th, Logitech has a device out for Google TV. I haven't even got a chance to read up anything on it. I just saw the announcement on Lifehacker, I think.
I need to go look at that. And I'm going to take us way off topic because, let's be honest, when are we ever really on topic? I really need to look at the home theater space and what's happening with all these boxes, because you got BoxyBox, you got Roku, you got Apple TV, now you got Google TV. And not only did I have a new kid, I just bought a new house. So I'm looking at how I'm going to wire my new house. It's actually fully wired, but I don't know what devices I'm going to stick in every room. If I'm going to have a TV with a BoxyBox or an Apple TV or maybe a Google TV. I'm leaning right now towards just a regular, like an e-box, little thin box running Windows with Boxy software on it, because that gives me the full range of
Boxy's stuff. Really nice.
And really what I want is I want to be able to pop out of whatever media application I'm using and get to a real browser. And so one of the things that Google TV appeals to me is that supposedly it is the web, right? It's supposed to give you access to the internet.
Where, yeah, if you need to, you can go.
Yeah, because, like, I'll give you an example. You know, YouTube and Boxy is limited.
Yes.
But if you can get to the YouTube site, you can go and watch whatever videos you want. You can actually log into your subscription and see all your channels and everything that you've subscribed to. So, anyway, it's just there's a lot of different options out there. And so I'm going to really have to take a hard look. You know, I think if Apple TV had came out with apps, if it really was just an iPod Touch that connected to your TV, I think I would have been all over that.
And I wonder if it's going to be the one-upmanship between Apple and Google.
Mm-hmm.
Apple TV, $99.
Right.
Very limited. I think my Apple TV, my first gen, or even, well, I guess it might be a second gen Apple TV. Would this be a third gen? I'm not sure. I'm not up on the generations. But anyhow, I think mine has more capabilities than the new one. But now we have, but it's $99.
Right.
Google TV from Gizmodo, I'm looking at right now, $299.
Right.
But
well, there was a comment made that Google TV may be where Google TV may take off is when it's embedded in the televisions, like what Sony's going to do. Because if you buy a TV that already has it, you're not buying anything extra. And so you don't have to think about what you're going to buy.
Pretty much. Okay, now let's bring this back to education, because we're talking about ourselves and our own personal space.
So can we put an Apple TV in every classroom?
If you had the right Apple TV setup, or if you had an iTunes setup, you technically could.
Now,
but you can only have five devices, right?
Right, but here's the thing, and this is kind of, if you look at the big commercial offerings, they'll sell you a big server that you stick in your server room. That'll record video and then stream it out to all your classrooms.
Yes, right? And that's major bucks.
Video streaming services. Now think about this. If we could stick an Apple TV in every classroom.
And have.
Right? And now we could stream educational content.
One iTunes
central
hub.
Location hub. Yeah, where you could get Discovery Channel and all the other stuff.
And if you could get iTunes to turn on an education account where you could have multiple rooms.
iTunes U. You know, iTunes U out.
Okay, but now Google TV, you pay three times the amount, $300 for a room.
Well,
now.
Do you think we will see $100 Google TV?
I have no idea. I haven't dug into it enough. I put on the show notes for the Google TV and the $299 review from Gizmodo.
Because I think the unfortunate thing is when we talk about technology for school, we always have to be concerned with cost, especially when we talk small school.
Well, that's true. But what I'm looking at is if you can do a search for any video on the web or any video in cable through Google TV, that's a lot more powerful than an Apple TV where you have to have it either stored or you have to now buy it from iTunes.
True. But if Apple TV or Apple were to partner with somebody like Discovery Streaming, did I get that name right?
I believe so.
Okay. So if there was an Apple TV like box for Discovery Streaming, which I guess there is, it's your computer. But I'm just trying to think simplicity, something that just works, that you don't have to turn the computer on, you don't have to make sure the projector's on, you don't have to make sure that it's full screen and your speakers are on. Because one of the other things that we've actually been looking at, and I've seen some districts do this, they're now starting to buy LCD TVs for their classrooms instead of projectors and screens.
Which I don't understand.
Well, it's cheaper for one, and for the secondly, if you have I don't want to say small enough classroom. Some of our classrooms, I think it would work. Some of our other classrooms, I think they're too big, or you'd have to have two TVs to actually have full coverage. But I like the appeal because look what's happening to us now with our projectors and our screens. One, our projectors are getting old, right? TVs generally last, what, 10, 15 years?
I don't know about the new ones. I would disagree with that on a new TV.
Really? How long have you had yours?
I have two of my Sonys that were CRTs. One is probably 6 years old. And I had another one that lasted maybe four, and then it popped.
Well, that's your problem. You bought Sony.
But I mean, are there LCD? How many people have an LCD TV that's 10 years old right now?
How long have you had an LCD? Let's just look at LCD technology, monitors. How long have you had your LCD monitor? Well, wait. I'm not asking the right person. You change yours every, like, 2 years. And so
you
do
mean
I.
My computer monitor?
Yeah.
It's probably 4 or 5 years old now.
Yeah, I mean, I've got monitors that are older than that. So, I don't know, maybe they don't last that long, but
I think it's still such a new device.
They're not new. I just think the application is new.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, probably raises heat issues. The other thing, too, is from our projectors, we're only getting, what, 1024 by 768?
Yes.
So now you look at putting a TV in, you get much better quality.
You get better quality, but you can't use it because you have to make the text large enough for the students to read.
Okay, so why are the students reading what you put up on the project on the TV? You're putting text up there? You're thinking PowerPoint, my
friend. I'm thinking presentation.
You're thinking
yes.
the old
I guess you are correct. I am thinking old school. Why do you need a TV then?
Well,
if you're letting,
because you want to do multimedia stuff and you want to present. Okay. I mean, come on. They go home and they stare at TV for 5 hours a day.
If it's truly multimedia you're after, then yes, an LCD TV is probably the better way to go.
I guarantee you, just having a TV up there, more people are going to pay attention. Just they're programmed to. They're used to it. They're like, oh, TV, I better pay attention. There's something on. I'm going to watch it. Right? Have you ever seen a kid? My kid will stare at the TV no matter what is on. She'll stare at the TV. It doesn't matter what's on. The simple fact is it's on.
Interesting. Okay, well, and my little girl, she's two. She watches it, and then she'll just go do something else,
well,
and she completely forget it.
Yeah. Just wait. We limit TV. It's not a big thing in our house. But you know what I'm saying, right?
Yes.
Like me, I grew up with a TV on all the time. So if I see a TV, I get stuck for however long. But
yeah.
I just think it has a if you want to start looking at a multimedia classroom, and I've thought about this too, I think the projector's a bit limited. I would like to, although I like the new projectors we got because they're brighter. But I would like to have a situation where I could have like two TVs. I could have something playing on one and then jump over and have something else up on the other. Maybe, and I haven't learned how to use Twitter in the classroom yet, but wouldn't it be cool to have Twitter scrolling and
streaming.
You have live back channel? Right? On one screen. And then some kind of multimedia presentation about, for instance, in your class, you could have volcanoes or something. You know, I mean, there'd just be a... Because you do clips. You do video like crazy, right?
Yes.
And you're showing it on the projector. And until this year where you got the bright projector...
It was all washed out and you could not see the blacks. And if something was dark, you wouldn't see a thing. You had bad definition. So, yes,
like,
I understand.
It's like going to the drive-in where the theaters, you know, where the screen...
They start
like,
too early.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know.
No, that makes sense. I agree.
Okay,
so
I took us way off.
We got way off. So we went from Google TV to Apple to
that's what I do.
To LCDs. Okay.
Let's talk about my complaint of the week.
Well, I was just going to say I was busy adding show notes. So if you heard me typing.
Yeah, this mic is really good, and we should.
We have yet another mic.
It's like we try a new mic every week.
We've tried a Snowball. We've tried going straight off of MacBooks. We've tried straight off of going to iMacs. We've done
USB mixers.
USB mixers. We have Shure mics. And now we're trying a Yeti. And it seems to be extra clear and extra strong so far.
The lines look good.
And so,
and it actually works with two people. I think we may have had the Snowball oriented the incorrect way.
Maybe we did. So anyhow.
This is a new mic. So
it's picking me up typing from about 2 feet away, a foot and a half away on my keyboard. So that's pretty good.
Yep.
So now your complaint of the week.
Oh, yeah. Let's get back on track to the show notes.
Yeah.
I'm struggling with multiple accounts in Gmail. I really am. Now you have a good solution, which we'll talk about in a second.
I actually struggle with multiple accounts as well, but
You've worked through it?
I've worked through it.
Work around it. I have a slight workaround, which is I will open up my home account in Firefox and my work account in Chrome. Okay. But what I'm finding now is because we have two work domains, we have student and staff. When I want to go into the student one, now I'm getting messed up.
And we have kind of an SSO through
Moodle.
Active Directory through Moodle to Google.
Yes.
And so to get into our student Gmail accounts or student accounts, we have to go into Moodle first to get into...
Yeah, and then it does an SSO.
And actually, I've had problems. I have some complaints on that one. I don't know why it's doing it, but if you were to close Windows incorrectly, mm-hmm. out of order, and let's say you close Moodle first and then close a Google account, and then you try to get back into Moodle, it will... And if you're in the Moodle page signing in, it will automatically redirect you into
Gmail.
A Google Docs, and you can't get into Moodle to save my life.
Yes, I have seen that too.
And that I don't know if that's a browser issue.
It may be. I don't know if it's looking at cookies or if it's...
Because I've been in Chrome, I think, every time that's happened.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe
I noticed that too. I hadn't really pinned down how that happens, but yeah, you're right.
Okay,
that
so that's a different issue. But
well,
yes.
That's the Moodle SSO thing. I like it.
I do like it.
It has a little... It has
There's some glitches.
But, okay, so basically what I've been doing is, because I didn't want to turn on... There's a way that you can turn on... I think it's multiple accounts. You can do that in your profile.
Yes.
And, however, it breaks one thing that I really like, which is offline access.
Which only works for Firefox anyhow.
Yeah, but that's my primary browser. Sorry, Mr. GCT.
Yeah, I've switched to... Chrome.
You're at Chrome all the time? Now that Xmarks is going away, which I love Xmarks, and I got to go pledge my $10 to $20. Now that Xmarks is going away, which is how I was doing all my password syncs.
Okay.
I didn't even care about bookmarks. I was doing my password syncs. I might just end up switching
and
to Chrome.
And if you have not... Okay, we're getting off topic again, but that's okay. If you're now in the newest version of Chrome, when you sync Chrome accounts...
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, okay. I need to upgrade my Chrome account in my Linux laptop, netbook. It does bookmarks, it does preferences, it does themes, it does extensions, and I believe it'll do passwords now.
Okay, so I will have to check that out.
So it's not showing up on my Linux netbook right now, but in my MacBook and my PC at home, it syncs across completely.
You know, that means, see, Xmarks was cool for me.
Well, that's why Xmarks died.
Right. Well, and now the problem is I'm going to have to get all that stuff out, which I think they made it pretty easy.
They made it easy.
I haven't looked at it
yet.
Yeah,
it's a simple CSV.
Now, I guess if I go to Google, it's not beta, is it? I don't have to worry. Actually, I'd probably feel better if it was a beta service. So now I'm going to have to go into Chrome.
Actually, it might be beta.
I guess if I use the Chrome feature, I'm pretty safe, right? Google's not going to take that away?
I would think not, because bookmarks was added about, I would say, 6 months ago, mm-hmm. and now extensions, which is awesome.
Well, yeah, that is pretty cool. I mean, for me, really, though, the password thing is the biggest one. I have so many friggin' passwords, I can't.
See, I don't use that. I don't trust it for some reason.
Yeah, I believe in encryption, so.
Chrome will do the extensions. Well, this was one of the biggest problems with Firefox is you always had to install your extensions every window you went to.
Yeah, every time you went. Yeah.
And then you were doing that with Chrome as well, but now... The extensions sync across multiple browsers.
No, that's cool.
And so now it's so nice because I install them once.
So basically, they're capturing your profile in the cloud, and then
yes.
any machine you log into,
it's
you're done.
It's very similar to Android-ish kind of mentality, I would think. Okay, back to multiple accounts.
So how do you deal with it?
So I don't use the drop-down, which is if you turn on multiple account sign-ins, you get a drop-down, and you're allowed to have multiple accounts signed in. I don't like it because usually when I have Gmail or Google open,
mm-hmm.
I will have Calendar open, I have
multiple
Gmail
tabs.
Open, I have, Docs open. Well, if I move do the drop down and I switch accounts in, say, Gmail, it screws me up in my other accounts.
The other tabs, yep.
And then I have to do that as well. So it's
like it doesn't keep track that you have tabs open in the other account.
Exactly.
And switch those.
And I bet you it's... I hope they fix it, but the way I fix it is dual monitors, Firefox open with one account, Chrome open with another account, and my third account is an incognito window with Chrome. Now, I found a glitch with incognito. I don't know if it's a glitch or if maybe it's only meant to have one incognito at a time, but if you try to open a second incognito window and go to, a say, a fourth Gmail account, yeah, we're crazy. We have multiple accounts. As soon as you go to google.com, it opens the whatever window is in the first incognito window.
See, and this is another thing that I would like every instance of Chrome. In other words, if I launch a window of Chrome, I'm cool if all the tabs within that window relate to that first window.
I understand what
you're
saying.
I'd like to be able to launch another window.
So basically,
everyone would be an incognito.
Would be an incognito, right? Except for it's not a true incognito. It's just
a new instance of Chrome with its own set of cookies and session state and all that stuff.
See, now, I understand why they did it, multiple sign-ins, because they were getting ready to switch for Google Apps. So now you can be, I can go to google.com and use my Google Apps email address and sign in through google.com, and I get to my school domain.
Yes.
Which is cool.
Well, because you get all the extra services.
I get all the extra services because I've set up the transition.
Now, you have to turn that on, and you have to transition the users.
Yes.
And
but
there's an issue with that we should probably discuss a little bit real quick.
Well, but I want to real quick. Before, I didn't have a problem with my multiple accounts because I could be in different tabs in Google and have three different account opens in three different tabs.
And they were completely separate.
And they'd be completely separate. Right. And so I never had that problem. But as soon as they started that transition over, you'd open a new account and you didn't know what was going to pop up.
Right, yeah, it would get all screwy. And that's probably a minority of us, right? So that's probably not very many of us. Anyway, I was just going to say that watch out if you turn on the, I think it's called transition users, because if a user has already signed up for Gmail using their school email address or their Google Apps account address, there's going to be a conflict there. And there's a set of instructions that it sends that you can send to your user that explains what they need to do. This happened actually to our principal. We enabled the transitions. And the problem is it doesn't tell you which one of your users are actually have that issue. It just tells you how many of your users have it. So there's really no way to tell beforehand who it's going to affect. So anyway, that's just one of the gotchas. But I do like being able to log in, and now I can set up Reader and I can do some other cool stuff under my Google Apps account. And we'll be able to turn that on for students too, which we haven't done yet. So,
yeah, well, his did some weird thing today. It actually broke his email on his iPhone today. It was asking him for a new password. And so when I asked him to go back to his room and sign in, or his office and sign in, he got into a personal Google account, regular Gmail account, and he had some weird percent.
Okay, so Danny didn't read the instructions explain the transition, because that's in there. That's what happens. It creates a, not a dummy account, but it says a temp account.
Yeah. And yeah, that's what I figured happened. But he went in the wrong way, and that's why it caused that problem.
Well, there's a whole,
no,
I said the whole
I understand,
step by step.
I understand.
This is what you need to do. I have not been here, so I couldn't do anything.
We went back into the domain. I had him go back into his domain account, through the domain, reset his password,
and then no problem.
And no problems.
Right. So anyway, it's just something to look out for. Okay. So, I mean, that's basically our show notes. Both of us would like to get out of here.
Family. Time to go back to the family.
But we just wanted to get a podcast out.
It was a good half hour show. That's, some people like that.
Well, we could have started like 30 minutes ago, but you know, we got sidetracked and had lots of stuff.
Lots of people talking.
Okay, anything coming up real quick that we want to talk about? We've got SEPA coming up on the 19th.
If you're in the area, CVQ this weekend.
Oh, that's right.
Which is this Saturday, which would be the 9th, I think.
Yeah.
And then we have CCQ, which is in Stockton. CCCQ, I think, is what it's called. Make or Take Session in Stockton, which is next Saturday. And then SEPA coming up. We're going to be there on Tuesday.
Tuesday the 19th. We have two afternoon sessions. So and if you're there, look for us.
And I guess that's, hopefully we have another podcast before all that stuff's over with.
Yeah, and I'll see if we can swing a podcast from SEPA.
Well, that'd be, maybe we can just be interesting. Shoot off to the corner somewhere and just
I'm thinking maybe between sessions. I don't know how much time we're going to have. We just, if we have the same room, we just stay
just
there.
Stay in there. That's true. Yeah, so. Well, all right. I guess that's another show all finished up.
We're done. Roll the music.
Music by Kevin MacLeod.
So we are recording. You turn AC on?
7-4.
Such a wimp.
Okay, I need to get show notes. I don't even know what to do yet.
You GCTs can't handle the heat. Episode 16, the shortest episode ever. So when are we going to stop saying our Twitter handles at the beginning of the show?
It's our thing, dude.
It's our thing? I don't know. I think it's getting old.
Yeah?
It's Twitter.
Everybody loves Twitter.
I don't like this multiple Gmail thing. And I can't turn on.
What do you mean?
Feature. You know, okay.
Just signing with Andrew at smallschoolbigtech.com.
I am.
Yeah.
But what's happening for me is when I sign in with my three primary Gmail accounts, it's bouncing in between. And now, like, if I go in and sign in for regular Gmail, it takes me to my Google Apps domain Gmail unless I've signed out of that account.
You know what I do?
Separate browser.
New cloud incoming.
Incognito one.
But I found out also, we can talk about this too. Let's talk about this so we can...